Welcome, everybody. This is How to English, Teach and Learn with Gavin M.
It's a podcast about teaching and learning English as a foreign language.
All opinions given.
just carry on.
All opinions.
Stated.
All opinions stated.
Well, I said stated.
All opinions stated are personal. One more time. All opinions stated are personal and references will be given where possible.
Necessary. Possible. Yes, where possible.
Is that
that's seamless?
Better, isn't it?
Perfect.
It is perfect.
Right. Okay. Cue music.
Episode.
Something, something.
It's 35, isn't it?
35.
Yep. Episode 35.
We decided to call this one...
Evergreen.
Evergreen. Why is it evergreen?
Because it's your favourite song.
By Will Young, who was X Factor's... Was it X Factor? Maybe not X Factor. Oh. God, was it X Factor?
I have no idea. That was...
The first ever reality television music winner.
Mm-hmm.
His, I don't know, winning song that was...
Did he win or did the other one win?
He, wow, I don't know.
Maybe he came second or third and he
was it Gareth Gates? Did Gareth Gates
maybe
win?
Maybe he won.
This is terrible, we don't know.
And it turned out the runner-up actually was more successful because who remembers Gareth Gates?
Well, yeah, I mean, who remembers Evergreen by Will Young?
I'm not sure if any of the listeners know what we're talking about.
Anyway, Evergreen.
You can always Google it, but I think you're actually not talking about the song.
Am I talking about trees, Gav? Am I talking about trees that bear foliage throughout the year?
Yes. No.
No,
you're not.
No.
Well, I thought you were about to talk about them.
No. Well, I could talk about them. I'm sure it'd be very interesting, but we're not that kind of podcast. You'd have to go to one of those nature podcasts for that sort of stuff.
That's true. So evergreen meaning?
Meaning always fresh.
Yes.
Or remaining popular or timeless.
Oh, that's good.
In relation to teaching English.
Yes, and learning English.
And learning English.
Teach
last
and
week, learn with Gavin M.
Teach and learn with Gavin M. Because last week was
keeping it fresh.
So we're actually moving on from not simply fresh, but green.
Which is sort of going to be similar, I think. But before we do start, there is quite a nice comment that came last week from Selwyn _ Darrier.
Was that Selwyn again?
Selwyn again, yeah. And they've said, talking about being tech savvy, and this is how we keep our lessons fresh, by using educative spaces endowed with technology.
Oh, wow.
In different senses. So we didn't really talk about technology. We didn't really talk about fresh methods, I don't think. So that was a very good point.
That's true. We didn't mention that.
So what would you like to add, Gav, to the whole keeping it fresh, evergreen conversation about, you know, how do you...
Embrace technology.
Which is what Selwyn says as well, yeah.
And even technology for technology's sake can be kind of fun.
What is that?
That's just using it just because it's a fun medium. And it might not even lead to any greater learning than using a piece of paper and a pen, but it could be a lot of fun.
So you just mean the format you present the lesson with can actually... be quite motivating.
Yeah, using apps, using, you know, online stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of these games that you can play, or just even giving people a worksheet on a tablet or something, I guess.
Ooh.
It's modern.
That is keeping it fresh.
Yeah. So keeping it fresh meaning, you know, using new techniques, thinking of new ways to keep interest and attention.
Yep.
But evergreen, Gav, like evergreen problems,
evergreen
principles.
Evergreen solutions,
nice. Evergreen methods. Evergreen in the sense of, like, an evergreen problem in teaching would be what?
The student is late.
It is always... going to happen, isn't
it?
No matter what year it is, no matter what the technology, no matter what platform you're using, there's always going to be late students.
Yeah.
You can't do anything about that.
That was the first thing that came to mind. There are always students will always be students. Teachers will always be, well, maybe we won't, maybe we will be robots eventually.
Well, this is also something that people are talking about. Okay.
That's not evergreen, is it? That's future technology.
Well, the teacher is evergreen in the sense that there needs to be some figure where the information is coming from that figure. Maybe it's not even a figure. Maybe it's a computer, a portal.
Okay. Well, students are
a plug directly into your brain.
Would you say that students are more self-motivated these days than they were in the past? I mean, so many people go online now and start courses, learn themselves. They're kind of self-perpetuating.
Not quite that. Learning. But I think we're living in a world now where we think anything is possible if we have the internet, perhaps.
Okay.
If you've got the time. You can learn to ... in however many hours with this online YouTube video.
Oh, right. Okay.
We are living in a generation of it's all there. The information is there.
Yes.
It's just whether you've got the motivation and the stamina to keep going with it. So I think the evergreen aspect is that people are always going to want to learn to do things.
Sure.
But we've got these other methods of learning now.
Yeah. And students might need to filter some of this information because there is so much out there now. There's so much available. As you say, videos online, there's courses.
Yeah. So that's the skill we're having to adapt and learn and find ourselves. You know, what is good information, what is maybe not so useful information, and what is good for you and what's going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is trial and error, which is a bit of a time thing. Again, you have to spend a lot of time on it.
Yeah.
And I find, if I find a podcast I like, I feel so loyal to it that I feel like it's almost an obligation to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to be a bit negative in the end. Because
really?
I feel like I can't stop doing it. I can't stop listening to it because I've started and I've heard all the 50 or whatever podcasts up until this point. So mm-hmm. I kind of owe it. I don't know who I owe it to. The people making the podcast, maybe. Myself, maybe. That I just don't stop listening because maybe I've lost interest.
Oh.
And I think it's the same with maybe online lessons or online platforms or videos or audio books or whatever.
Yeah.
I think there is this sort of I think that for me there's a tendency just to keep going with it.
Do you think that might depend on your personality then? Because I would say...
Age probably as well.
Oh, I wasn't going to say that. But I'm absolutely the opposite.
Well,
I would just abandon it if I was bored halfway through or after 10 episodes. Or
how do you know when the right time is to abandon it? This is my problem.
There's just so much out there. I think dedicating yourself to one single thing is a bit of a waste of time, really.
Well, in this day and age it is, because there is just so much there available. Yeah. So this is, I think, a bit of an inner conflict I have with myself.
It's definitely not age.
All right. I shouldn't say age. My age. My own age. But I just think I come from maybe a background of always finishing things.
Okay.
There's no end, is there, with this technology we have now? It doesn't end. It's infinite.
It's evergreen.
No, I think we've detracted slightly, but it's infinite amounts of information.
It's perpetual.
So you need to know when to switch off from it, when to take a break from it.
Right.
So, yeah, it's great when you use it well,
mm-hmm.
but I think you've got to know yourself. Know what you need.
What works for you as well. Some things work for you and other things don't.
Even if you set a time limit or just say you're going to do this thing for a 3-month period and then actually just reflect on how you feel about it, because I think it can just turn into a chore of doing it, and it's not fun, is it?
No.
So I think, I don't know, evergreen, it needs to be fun. I don't know, we're not really we're not talking about evergreen now. Talk about evergreen.
Well, I like that idea that it could be something that you always go to. So, some of our students have apps that they use every day, like a word a day, or they listen to 6-minute English or something. That's something that they always do. It will always improve their English. That's a really positive thing.
Mm.
Is that evergreen?
Yeah.
Kind of.
We need to keep the fun evergreen. Maybe that's it.
Okay.
Maintain the fun side of it.
Yes.
Enjoyment side of it.
Yes.
I mean, you touched on this last week. You said maybe it doesn't have to be fun, just as long as it's working for you.
Yeah.
Personally, I like it to be fun, though.
It needs to have a bit of fun. Was that me? Doesn't sound like me.
I think you were the one
I'm
I was
the
talking
fun teacher.
To. Okay. No, but you said something about self-study, that if it's working for you. If you're seeing results, then maybe it's quite hard to have fun on your own.
Yeah, but it would be difficult to maintain, I think.
What?
You said if it was boring. How could you maintain it if it's boring?
Well, some people do. That's what my whole point was. I spend a lot of time on things and then realise, God, I'm not enjoying this and it's boring and why am I doing it? And I need to recognise that and stop before it gets to that point or when it gets to that point.
Okay, evergreen.
So, that's an evergreen problem I have. Okay. So anyway.
So you mean like recurring?
No, I think evergreen is like timeless. Right. Timeless. So,
I'm trying to nail you down on this evergreen definition, I think.
You said students being late, that's an evergreen problem.
Right.
You can't change it.
Okay, let's move on to our second point then.
What is that?
I thought, for example, evergreen would be evergreen lessons. And I know we hit on this before, which was like seasonal lessons. You always have your Easter lesson or your Halloween lesson or your Christmas lesson. These are the things that just keep coming up each year. And teachers can rely on those materials and use them every season.
Mm-hmm.
And the students can kind of expect it. If Easter's coming, your teacher's probably going to teach you about Easter again and talk about eggs and painting them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got my own thoughts on that.
Go on.
It's fine if you're doing it like once or twice, but yeah, I agree. It is an evergreen topic. It's a safe topic, but outside the box, maybe not just the typical.
Well, I'm just giving themed obvious examples. Yeah. I mean, there could be like other cultures.
Nice
traditions or events that are held.
That's good.
Those can be really
comparing
fascinating.
Is good. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. Like the first maybe time you have the students, it's nice to talk about traditions and for them to explain how they celebrate.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't do that again the next year.
Do you not? I do it for quite a few years and right.
With the same students.
Yeah, there's so much to do.
Oh, well, if you haven't covered all the traditions, but how do you remember which traditions you talk about?
Well, like I said last time, they just say, teacher, we've done this already, and then I'd switch to the next thing.
This is getting like deja vu. Okay, I try and just see a different aspect or something topical that's happening in the news at the time. So it's an evergreen topic, but with a keeping it fresh undertone.
I was going to say, but evergreen isn't like a current event, though, surely.
No, I think you're saying like holidays and festivals are an evergreen topic, which I agree.
Like,
they happen every year.
But if there was a pandemic,
hypothetically, let's just say there is.
Although thinking about it, that might be a long-term forget it. Okay. I just meant like one incident that happened, then you obviously it would be relevant for that time, but then we wouldn't go back to it a few weeks later students wouldn't be interested.
Not for that. No, I'm talking like an umbrella topic of Christmas, and then within that you can do lots of things. So I agree the topic is evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe keep the lessons slightly more with variety, not just the same thing, like we're going to do Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas again this year with a gap fill.
I love that song. Okay.
Well, I think, that is debatable because those Christmas songs are supposed to be repetitive and annoying.
They're like,
and incredibly catchy.
What's the, catchy, or what's the other one? Earworms.
They are earworms. So if you really want to make your students hate you, here we are again. We're doing the same song, but with different words, gap-filled this year.
Yay.
Remember what they were last year? No, nobody does. So we're doing it again until you remember.
That sounds like loads of fun. All right. Well, then other topics might be, I actually had a quick Google and I noticed that fluentu.com, fluentu,
okay, yeah,
it's the letter u.com, they've got a whole section on kind of evergreen, I would call them evergreen topics, so ones that you can always talk about. Students, are you sitting there thinking, what are these topics, Gav?
Yes,
well,
I'm going to tell you now.
They are, for example, talking about hobbies.
Ah.
Who doesn't want to talk about their hobbies?
Everyone's got one.
That's it, exactly.
I guess.
Time. Actually,
time.
We've done an episode on time, haven't we?
Yes, time and timing.
That was right, episode 26.
Yes.
That's a great topic for
it. What is time?
Yeah, I don't know. This is what it says. Time. For example, getting older and, okay. You know, what time do you go to
never
work?
Never gets old, talking about getting old.
And sleep and music and films and, you know, all these things.
Music, films, books, yeah. Sleep, I like the way you put that one in as well.
Okay. Well, there's from, I liked it. I'm going to put a link in the...
show notes.
The show notes.
Why did you never remember that word?
I was going to say footnotes.
Okay, that's nice. So evergreen themes
evergreen
and
topics.
And students love to talk about them.
They love talking about it. I love listening to them talk about
pets,
it.
Pets, I'd say pets.
Oh, well, this could go on for a while.
Children, family.
Yep.
Yeah. Cooking, if that's applicable.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes, I agree.
That's an endless list.
Yeah. Okay. What about methods, Gav? I mean, there's all these new types of methods for teaching, but which ones are evergreen? Which ones are going to stay around forever, do you think?
Oh, that is a very
good
question.
Tried and tested.
I think we should do a whole episode on different teaching methods.
I think we might be struggling to fill this one. Do you not want to just cover it now?
That was my code for saying I need to prepare.
Oh, you haven't thought about it.
Well, there are lots of different methods. I've tried a lot of them, or probably most of them. I think just a variety.
I think there'll always be methods that we use. Repetition, perhaps. Drilling,
mm-hmm.
practice.
Mm-hmm. You mean techniques, not actual methodologies then?
What's the difference?
Well, techniques you are inside the method.
They're
part of it.
So. Oh, okay.
So repetition, yeah. I mean, I was thinking, for example, often my students make mistakes of third person S. Like, students are always making these mistakes. So I write on the board things like people, everyone, nobody, Gavin, someone, grandmother, and students have to write or have to tell me, is it like or likes?
Oh, nice.
So
okay.
People, like or likes. Everybody, like or likes. And you can do this with have or has.
Okay.
And these are totally evergreen mistakes that students make.
What I'm getting from this, Gav, is examples.
This is a technique.
It's technique, yeah. And I think that's going to be evergreen,
well,
really.
It's an exercise, really.
You need examples.
Yes.
Lots of them.
Lots of examples, yeah.
And that's never going to get old, is it? We're always going to
The examples
need
will
them.
Change.
Yeah.
But we'll always have examples.
We're always going to use them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was our evergreen. You talked about some methodologies. I think we definitely will do an episode about actual teaching methodologies. Really get
do
into it.
Do you think that testing will be evergreen?
Testing?
Mm.
What do you mean testing?
Progress testing, level testing, testing of, just end of course testing. Do you think that it's just something we do for bureaucratic reasons, or do you think it has a purpose? Do you think in the future we will still do it as English teachers?
I think in schools, for example, in some Scandinavian schools, a lot of that's been dropped now.
Has it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll have to research that. And not footnotes, what is it?
Show notes.
Show notes.
Okay.
And I think in British schools, it's still really in vogue to test kids as young as possible.
Yeah.
So
what's the...
It depends a bit on the culture. I personally think that, no, I couldn't possibly guess about the future. Not really. No. I don't think testing is very important, but I think it's good for the students to have a sense of progressing. I don't think testing is always the best way, but... Yeah.
Like, what does progress mean? And why do we see it as this grade or number or whatever?
Yeah, sure.
It seems such a shame that we are predetermined, you know, that way.
But if you compare it to other skills, like, I don't know, like computing, like if you needed to learn computer language, you doing a test would show that you're competent in that language, and it's a very specific thing. So why
Which
would it not be the same
is a
for
a nice comparison because it is a language.
Yeah.
But I think a computer language is something you only use with a computer, whereas a language, a spoken language, surely the test is whether or not you can send an email or order a coffee or have a conversation with someone. So it seems a bit limited to test people based only on, you know,
grammar, yeah, multiple choice questions.
I was just comparing, you know, teaching a student some computer language in order to write a line of code that would successfully process something, to learning English and, yeah, like you say, being able to send an email.
Okay.
I guess if the outcomes are both the same, if they're both successful, then, yeah, they've passed the test. That's a good question.
I think maybe they're going to be evergreen. I think people, institutions, companies are going to want to see some form of level, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that was evergreen.
Not the best topic, perhaps, to choose.
I liked it. I'm still not completely sure what evergreen is.
It's a bit
is.
Fluffy, isn't it, as a title? I'm not sure either.
I think it's a great title. I think we just didn't do it much
justice. I just felt like it's nice in a reaction to last week, keeping it fresh.
What stays
the same, it's sort of the opposite idea. But
okay. Well, why don't you tell me a bit more about your evergreen in your classroom? How do you use your evergreen materials?
I don't really consider my materials evergreen. I just think the principles maybe stay evergreen. Like we said, keeping it fun, moving people around, mixing it up, making sure there's a lot of speaking practice and a variety of activities. Within that, it's flexible. But basically, those things don't change.
So that will sustain interest from the student in your lessons and keep them progressing, hopefully.
Yeah. Do you think the online teaching will become evergreen?
I think it's becoming standard. Yeah.
Well, yeah, kind of is evergreen-ish, I suppose.
And I don't think it's just because of the last few months. I think it was quite popular, well, a few years ago, really.
But this is the push we all needed, I think, to really set it in motion.
Yeah.
This seems now something that's very doable.
Yeah.
And I think companies are seeing that as a potential direction to go in. Whereas I think a lot of English language schools were quite reluctant to offer online lessons before this whole, you know, pandemic started. I think it was the lesser choice and maybe students didn't really like it either. But now it's just totally normal.
I think that's a really good point. So do you think schools should charge the same for online lessons as they did for face-to-face lessons?
Yeah, definitely.
Why?
Well, I think it's just as much work, if not perhaps more, or at least at the moment while we're transitioning. I think it takes a lot of planning.
And okay.
You have to adapt your materials and think of it. To actually teach a successful lesson online is really hard.
Okay.
But yeah, I know some schools do charge less for online, or they pay less for online.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Charge or pay?
Perhaps both. Well, I hope it's both. I hope they're not charging the same and just paying less.
Be less admin, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it is for the school. It's less to actually do. So
okay.
I don't think it should be any different.
Okay.
Do you?
That's really interesting. I think that as long as you're given the same quality lessons, then no, there's no difference. I see this in going into the future as being, you know, the norm.
Yeah, from a teaching sort of point of view, it's much more efficient that you can teach back-to-back lessons online. You haven't got to travel anywhere.
Yeah,
it's great for that, but it's very tiring. I remember when I used to have the occasional online lesson before we were doing it every day, and it was sort of a special thing. It's like, oh, I've got an online lesson.
Oh, it was a treat.
Can I do an hour on Skype? Not sure. It's very draining, isn't it? Couldn't possibly think of doing 90 minutes
on
Skype.
That's true.
It was sort of an average 45-minute lesson was a Skype lesson because everybody accepted it was hard.
Yeah.
On both sides.
So, like, intensive?
The students and the teacher.
Yeah.
So now it's sort of the norm to just do an hour and a half and that's normal, and then you do another one straight afterwards.
That's long, though, an hour and a half on Skype.
It is quite long, but it's about learning the techniques and adapting accordingly and making your lessons still have that dynamic, fun, you know, movement of different pace and all of that. It's good. It's a different skill set, again, which why I love the job so much. You know, it does change. It is always changing.
Yeah.
It's incredibly adaptable.
Okay.
The teaching itself is a sort of the evergreen part of it.
Okay.
I'm the evergreen part of it.
Yeah, you're the consistent factor in all of this.
I'm the pine tree in all this.
You're not losing your leaves.
No, they don't have leaves. I've got needles, sharp ones. Well, maybe some of them have leaves.
Okay.
I don't know.
Are there any tips we could leave our student... our student listeners with some sort of evergreen tips?
I think just try to revise what you learn.
Yep.
Always.
Yeah.
Keep it in your mind and practice that English as much as you can.
Yes. That's
it. That shouldn't ever change. That's okay. Going to always be the same.
So lots of repetition and lots of practice. Yeah. Use it in your writing or your speaking, whatever you're doing. That's brilliant. So thanks, Em.
Thanks, Gav.
And thanks to all the listeners. They are listening to How to English Teach and Learn with Gav and
Em.
And we'll see you all next week. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.